Were you surprised they actually did finally shut down, completely go out of business?
I didn't think they would. When we went out on strike, I thought maybe the government, you know, they bailed Chrysler out. I thought maybe they'd give us help rebuild the Rock Island. But the thing about it, the old boy that had the controlling stock, he wanted his money.
Was that, I think LT called him Old Man Crown?
Crown, yeah. Yeah, he wanted his money. And
there was also some politics.
Well, there was.
Yes.
The thing about it, the fellow that was in charge of liquidating it married a clerk down here. Before it all shut down, he married one of the clerks that worked down here and put her in charge of all the real estate sales, and she got a commission off of that. They auctioned off all that stuff at Biddle at the roundhouse out there, and I was working. That's back when I was working about one day a week, and I had to go. But I'd like to have gone to that. Joe got a little box with pigeonhole deal at Bauxite, the depot at Bauxite, and he got a chair that came from Biddle, one of those oak chairs, auctioned off all the depot safes. I'd like to have had one of those. Mm. You know, they had all this fancy flyery stuff, and then it had the name of the station on the door of
the
the safe.
That would have been nice.
Yeah, I'd like to have had one of those. And, there's probably several things I'd like to have had if I could have gone out there. All those old tools, some of that stuff, like these companies that go out on these derailments and such as that, they bought a lot of that stuff.
I know I've seen like a Rock Island boxcar in someone's backyard in Malvern, and did they just sell all the cars and everything?
Well, I think so, and then out west towards Boonville, you see a lot of those old cars that turned over, still sitting there. Hmm. And then I think some of those farmers bought them, put hay in. Then a lot of that stuff other railroads bought. One of the last days that we worked, I come out of Memphis, and we had 125 brand new cars. Mm. Brand new boxcars. The next day they went out of business. And they were all, you know, just brand new empty boxcars. Just fresh. I mean, never been used. Loaded.
I still see a lot of the old Rock Island boxcars even now. But they're always the ones that have the rock.
The blue. That was another thing I couldn't figure out. They were in bankruptcy, and they spent all that money painting everything blue, changed the name to the Rock.
Yeah, trying to go for a whole new image, I guess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But did they feel they needed just to abandon the old name? I mean, at that point, I mean, it's...
I think they thought if they would get out of bankruptcy that would be more modern name. Like, what is that insurance company? The Rock, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what they thought. It'd be a little more more solid company.
Yeah.
You know.
What was morale like as things went downhill?
Well, the morale kind of got bad.
Because I know there were a lot of things that I read between like 75 and 80 when I was researching that paper about the strikes and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, just like with me. See, I didn't get my unemployment, my back pay.
Uh-huh.
Nobody got back pay. And that wasn't very, morale wasn't too good about that. I had people, call me from Chicago, ask me to please cash that check.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm okay. Well, why, Mr. Rook? Said, right, we need to get our book straight. And don't you not need the money? I said, well, I don't need that.
Right.
And all in all, the bunch on the Rock Island were really a good bunch of men. Even the ones in the shops, and it was a smaller operation, and everybody knew everybody. Over on Observe Pacific, out there were so many, a lot of them didn't know each other, you know.
What else happened as this kind of going downhill beyond the track? What happened next that clearly said things are bad?
Well, of course, they had so many derailments. And that we got to figuring when they had those derailments that they were pretty costly. And they wouldn't fix the track. I mean, they'd just patch it. And my opinion was, well, they'd have one of those bad derailments and they never would fix it. You know, that'd best be the end. But I worked from Little Rock to Butterfield and back. We was making about 12 hours a day, and I was trying to make what I could because I could see the handwriting on the wall. And the engineer, he lived over in Lakewood, and he was a good friend of mine. And we worked together quite a bit. We just swapped our cars. He'd drive one day and I'd drive one way to work. We were just trying to make what we could because we didn't know what the future would bring. But we figured that somebody was going to buy part of the Rock Con. But we didn't know, and then they came up with this March 4th agreement about where you get the guarantee, and it, excuse me, it lasted so many years. But it wasn't worth much. That guarantee wasn't worth much. Like I say, you know, I thought I was going to get about $4,000, and I got about $500. Mm-hmm. That check, and then I had to go through all that with the income tax, that repayment, and they wouldn't send me any kind of a letter saying that they'd repaid it. That's what made me think it wasn't on the up and up. But everybody tried to do a good job, as far as doing a good job. I mean, everybody. I know I did. I wanted to keep the Rock Island going. I felt like if the Rock Island hadn't went out of business, I never would have come down with this bad back. Mm. Because at Malvern, they worked. Finally, when I went to work, we had six men on the crew, three brakemen, a conductor, engineer, and a fireman. Well, down at Malvern, there at the last where I was working down there, we had an engineer, and I was a conductor and one brakeman. And, man, we were having to really hit it.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of things. I'd get off boxcars probably faster than I should have, and I think that's what helped. My back was probably next to going bad anyway, and that just finished it off. But we, of course, down there we worked on the Rock Island track. We switched Malvern. Mm-hmm. The Rock Island had more business at Malvern than the Cotton and the Missouri Pacific did, as far as industries. Most of the industries down there were on the Rock Island. Over on the Missouri Pacific, about all they had was one big brickyard at Perla, Acme Brick. But Acme had three brickyards in Malvern that we serviced. And it was kind of like working on the, you know, back your old job, but it was different in a way. We'd have to get our cars off of Missouri Pacific. And down there at Malvern, we used probably about the biggest cars we used were 50-footers. On the Missouri Pacific, you had those big, long cars with long drawbars, couplers, mm-hmm. and then the curve. There were a lot of curves where you had to couple up. Well, you couldn't. You just have to shove the car on around a straight track and then adjust those drawbars. You just have to manhandle them, adjust them. Where you could couple up, and it was harder. It was a little bit harder job.
Any different when Union Pacific took over? Or did it just
no,
get
it
worse?
Was same. Oh. It was same. Actually, a little better. Tell you the truth. The train master down there, his office was at Curtin. Now the Rock Island never did do anything like this, but he would. About once every 2 weeks, he'd give us his Visa card, and we'd go to Western Sizzling, and he'd buy the crew a steak.
That's something.
Yeah. And he kind of appreciated what we had. He knew we had the biggest part of the work to do down there. Mm-hmm. Rock Island never did that. On Christmas, they'd put out a little yellow piece of paper said to all employees, wish you a Merry Christmas. The Cotton Belt... They'd give you little things. They'd give you caps and pocket knives and little odds and ends like that. And then the Union Pacific would give you jackets. And they furnished your gloves. Rock Island never furnished any gloves. And they furnished leather gloves. And I don't know. We got little odds and ends. Got if you went so many days without injury, they give you so many deals. We got a couple of stadium blankets. Got the name on there. Rock Island never did anything like that.
I think El T had said that Santa Fe was wanting to buy the Rock Island, was wanting to run trains all the way
they
to
were,
Memphis.
They were. That was what we were trying to get. The Santa Fe wanted to buy the Rock Island out west on into Memphis. And I spent more time out that legislature. Well, I went out there every day lobbying. We talked to all those representatives and senators, and we wrote letters and all that, and the Missouri Pacific knocked that down.
Mm. They didn't want the competition?
Oh, no. And the Cotton Belt didn't either. They were both had their lawyers down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it like one vote of passing.
Mm. So it was the state lawmakers?
What was going to happen, the state was going to buy the Rock Island, that part of the Rock Island. Santa Fe was going to lease it from the state, and then after so many years, they were going to buy it. That was going to be in the deal. Well, the state couldn't lose any money. They were going to make more money out of the lease than what they were going to be out. But it like one vote passing.
Hmm. Amazing.
Boy, that was really disappointing.
Not bad.
Because we didn't know what was going to happen after that. But most of these big railroads have sold off to these little short lines. They don't want to switch it. Mm-hmm. See? And when the Cotton Belt first took the Rock Island at Little Rock, they wasn't even going to run a train to the paper mill. They didn't even know anything about the paper mill at Perry. And they found out that was pretty lucrative business. But then they Little Rock Western, they formed that, I think, actually, at Green Bay Paper Mill outfit. They own that railroad.
Yeah, boy, I see that track. I mean, I've gone down there a few times. It just looks like that from a passenger train would have been one of the most amazing lines to go on, you know, because you're along the river for so much.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Then you go right by Pinnacle.
You're going around a mountain on one side and a river on the other. It just circles through. And then when you get on up east, you run at the foot of Mount Magazine.
Hmm.
And it was really a scenic route. It really was.
Yeah, so much of it almost looks like it's laid out to be scenic, you know.
Yeah, well, it's just curves and around those mountains, you know. And back years ago, they had a rock jockey. At night, he would run that track on a motor car around those mountains, make sure the boulders fell off, and he'd get those off. And but they done away with him too. He wasn't there. Oh, I don't know. He was there a few years, 5 or 6 years after I went to work, and then they pulled him off.
Yeah. Are you ever surprised? I mean, saddened to see, you know, big stretches like from what Hazen to Little Rock are taken up.
Yeah. Yeah. We worked to Hazen, and they took from Carlisle to Hazen up, and we'd go so far out of Carlisle and it'd just be stubbed off. And I can remember when we'd run those passenger trains through there, man. Everybody had to get out of the way for the passenger train, and then you think back to what it is, you know, today. It's just, it makes you feel bad. It make me feel bad to run up. Now, the Little Rock Western runs to Danville, but the railroad runs alongside of it a little ways out of west of Perry. But I hadn't been back. I threatened to drive up to Boonville, but I'd heard the old depot there got burned down.
Yeah, I saw a photo of that, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, apparently the brick or rock frame or whatever is still there, but everything else just...
That was a big depot.
No.
Yeah,
I've seen postcards of it before.
Yeah, it was a big depot.